This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We cover what's going on with the Oregon State Legislature in regular conversations. And in today, in studio, State Representative Virgil Osborne. Thanks for coming in.
Kyle, thanks for having me.
So talk about what has been going on this week. First of all, I wanted to start with, because we had it as a news story, your off-road vehicle legislation being passed.
Yeah, that's a great thing to start with. So if you know me, you know I'm into off-road stuff, right? I mean, that's been my hobby my whole life for the most part. And I had a gentleman come to me from, he belongs to the Motorcycle Riders Association, and brought some stuff to my attention that I just didn't realize was the way it was. And that part of that was the decibel noise rulings for the state. And, you know, there's been a lot of controversy over the years on, you know, whether they're high enough or whether they're too low and whether or not a side-by-side can meet those decibel rules and motorcycles and whatever. And little did I know that DEQ actually was in charge of making those rules. And DEQ has absolutely no stake in the game when it comes to off-road vehicles, other than they, you know, still control the emissions to the degree that they can. But I thought, well, you know, this might be something that we want to change. So Oregon Parks and Rec actually has a very robust off-road organization, OHV Oversight Committee as well. And they currently set basically all the rules for OHV use in the state, except that one. But as of yesterday, that went across the House floor and was passed 56-0 unanimously. It'll go to the Senate. I expect a pretty good turnout at the Senate as well. And hopefully it will become law. So now DEQ doesn't have their fingers in something they know nothing about.
Now, if this gets through the Senate and is signed, when would it take effect?
You know, I don't remember putting an emergency clause on it, but I think it would probably take effect probably this summer.
And how rare is it for something to pass unanimously?
It doesn't happen very often. I was pretty happy that it passed. Now, a lot of that had to do with we had a really good showing and a really good turnout in committee. We had tons of support, tons of letters of support, and some good testimony as well.
And talk about some of the big legislation otherwise that's been worked on this week.
You know, not a lot of pretty stuff has been being, you know, worked on this week. We've had some stuff that's pretty controversial. You probably heard about the 3419 water bill that was a tax on well water. That came up kind of went to hearing last week, and over the weekend my phone blew up and my emails blew up. People were very upset about that bill, and it really hadn't crossed my radar until people started bringing it to my attention, which I encourage, if there's something that you feel very strongly about, definitely let me know, whether it's by phone, by message, or by email. Once it crosses my radar, I can put my people on it and we can start looking at it. Well, 3419, we were getting about an email, every 5 minutes we were getting an email on it, several phone calls, and frankly, it was a horrible bill. So I called the sponsor of the bill. We had a chat on Saturday. That bill is officially dead, so that bill will not move forward. So that was one that thankfully we were able to kill.
Now, does that mean they withdrew it, or?
Well, it got a hearing. It was scheduled to go to work session, and it's not going to have a work session. So there was a dash two and a dash three amendment to it. To the best of my knowledge, according to the owner of the bill, he is not going to pursue either of the amendments. So yes, by choice, it will die. It won't go to the floor.
And what else have you been following this week?
There was a predatory loan bill that was blocking. Right now, there's an interest cap for what loan companies, payday loan people, can charge interest rates. It's 36%, believe it or not. And there was a loophole that was happening with out-of-state banks could come in and charge a higher percent interest rate. So that was probably the most controversial bill that actually went across the floor, and that went through yesterday. It did pass, so that'll go to the Senate floor probably next week. And then there was also another one that we heard this week in committee, in House Environment and Climate Committee, was establishing a transmission authority. And by transmission, I mean transmission lines for electricity. the state's having a really hard time right now with their green energy goals because they want to produce solar power and wind power, but they don't have any way to get it from where the production happens to where they actually need it for distribution. And the state has actually kind of championed a bill that would create a what they call a transmission authority. The sad thing about that is that transmission authority will have eminent domain rights. So they will be able to decide where they want to put a line, and then they will be able to come and they will be able to walk over people's rights. So we fought that super hard. I asked a lot of really tough questions in committee, and I'm hoping that one dies, but we'll see. We'll see where that goes. And then, of course, what's coming up next week is the tire tax. So we the Democrats have proposed a House Bill 3362, which is a 4% tax on tires for your car, and that'll be on every car that you buy new tires for, and that money will be put into a fund to pay for mass transit. So the problem with that is we don't have mass transit in Southern Oregon or rural Oregon, so basically we're going to be sponsoring the Democrats' buses in Portland, so I'm not really happy about that either. So we have a lot of really not happy stuff.
Now, somehow I was thinking there already was a tax on tires.
Well, I think there's several tax on tires, but this one is specifically to a fund that will pay for transit authority, or I'm sorry, yeah, transit, mass transit.
Now, one of the things that came out this week was the revenue forecast. Talk about that.
Yeah, so the revenue forecast, again, I'm not a wealth of great happy news today. I'm sorry I can't give you better news, but our economy lost momentum, and we are performing under the rest of the country right now. And a large part of why we're performing under that is our gross domestic product is down, but a large part of that is because we're losing our manufacturing. We are creating some new jobs. We created 7,000 government jobs, which doesn't really equate to helping out with making our economy much better. We've also created 12,000 jobs in the health industry and other government-funded organizations. But we're seeing a loss in our timber industry. We're seeing a loss in our mining and minerals. A lot of it's just we're just being regulated to death, and that's causing our outlook, long-term outlook, to look pretty poor. Also, our housing affordability is poor, and the reason why it's so poor is because we don't have any housing because we're not building houses. So the pipeline is not looking great. It's weak. I just saw a report today that Texas was just the opposite. They were up 22% because they have built new houses, and we're not doing that in Oregon. We're supposed to be building 36,000 a year. We got to, I think, 18,000 last year, so we're not there. And then, sadly, our population growth, which is has a lot to do with our economy, is flat. In fact, there more people died in Oregon last year than were born in Oregon. So we're losing our population, we're losing our manufacturing, and we're going to see that in the long term as a real issue.
Now, have we seen, and maybe it's not monitored every year, in terms of people entering the state to move here and people exiting?
Yeah, people are exiting. Working class people are exiting. They're going places where taxes are less expensive. But really what we're losing it is we're losing it in our manufacturers and in our industry. Industry, the actual – what I look at is the tax, what corporate tax is actually coming into the state. And we had for the projection is down $26 million, which tells me that corporations – that should be growing and growing and growing every year. And it's not. It's going the other way. And what happens is that just tells me that industry is weak. When industry is weak, people don't get hired and jobs don't happen.
Now, is there growing concern about the impact of all the federal cuts we're seeing leading to reduced funding to Oregon for all kinds of things?
Oh, well, I think it's a real big issue. I think $1.5 billion goes to the schools in Oregon, and there's that concern. We seem to be hung up on DEI here, and our governor doesn't want to relinquish that. So, if we continue to fight DEI, Trump administration may continue to cut funds. We haven't seen it yet, but we have seen some layoffs, particularly in federal jobs. But my biggest concern right now is we're going to have a real issue with ODOT. ODOT uses a lot of federal funds to do the work they do. And until we decide that we're going to get online with the rest of the country, we're going to really suffer for that. And then just magically, $1 billion disappeared from ODOT this last week. I'm sure you saw that report, but they made a mistake in their accounting. It was only $1 billion, though, Kyle, just $1 billion.
Now, one of the aspects to that, too, when you talk about transportation funding is the need for those federal funds because of the high dollar of some of these projects.
Yeah, it's critical that the state has that money. I mean, we have a bridge that we're supposed to be building in Portland to go across the river, and that's a $9 billion bridge. That's what it was. It continues to rise every year. 54% of the money spent on that bridge is because of our government, legislature, is geared and directed toward green energy. Well, green energy, which would be electric trains, bicycles, they want to put in an entire lane just for that type of thing. So do we really need to spend $9 billion on something that doesn't exist? There is no rail line that goes there yet. Not likely there would be afterwards, because Washington would have to connect it as well. So we're still focused on things that are not making our economy better. We're focusing on things that make environmentalists feel better.
All right, more when we come back. State Representative Virgil Osborne, they interview a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1. State Senator David Brock Smith on Inside Douglas County on Monday. State Representative Virgil Osborne in studio today. We were just talking before the break about some of the impacts from federal cuts to the state of Oregon. One of the other aspects of that, we've been hearing about a lot of cuts to the VA and VA projects and VA staffing. Might that also impact federal dollars for Oregon Veterans Home in Roseburg?
I don't think so. That money has been earmarked and set aside. Now, we are doing some behind-the-scenes work on that to make sure that does not get impacted, but that money's there. So now, I say the state side's there. The federal side, yeah, it could and probably will push the project out even farther. We'll have to wait and see how that works out. But I have heard the same thing. There are some VA folks that I know. Some of them are friends of mine that have lost their positions. But I also know some are actually being called back. So I think this thing will settle out at some point.
Well, and I know this particular project, your backup, the whole idea of having this home goes back a decade and a half.
Yeah, Commissioner Freeman, when he was in the legislature, was the one that started that home, the whole thing. And back then, we didn't need $30 million or $35 million to do it, because the overall project was probably that price. But now the overall project is probably closer to $100 million or more. And that money it took a lot of work to get that money. We finally have it. I don't think we're going to let it go. It'll go with a fight. I guarantee you that.
Now, whether it's that or whether it's some of the other projects around Oregon, what do you do in the legislature if these federal funds dry up at the level that they might?
Well, you remember that thing we call a kicker tax? Yeah, well, that's gone. They're gonna take that. They're gonna have to. They've got to find a way to fund wildfire fighting for next year, and they're already talking about taking the Democrats in the legislature are talking about taking that money out of the kicker. We don't want that to happen. We feel like there is a need for, we need to change 762. We need to get rid of the wildfire maps, and we need to fund ODF so that they can fight wildfires.
Now, where do you see that going in terms of the wildfire mapping? I know we talked about an update there last week. Anything new?
Well, there has been movement. There is a bill in the Senate right now. It's Noah Robinson's bill, and it's kind of working its way through the Senate. I don't know if they've actually had a hearing on it. There's also some amendments that are being proposed to that bill. The problem with 762 is, as bad as the bill was, it had some stuff in it that wasn't bad, and that had to do with firefighting equipment, mostly firefighting equipment being positioned and new equipment and some help for people to make their homes more resilient. So I believe what's happening right now, rather than trying to appeal the bill, I think they're trying to make the bill repeal the maps, which, you know, unfortunately the damage is done. The maps are out. People understand that what happened was a horrible thing. And frankly, the Democrats own that too. So Senator Golden, this was his baby, and he is now trying to fix it. He understands he's in trouble over it.
Now, when you talk about the ODOT projects, is there anything in Douglas County that could be impacted by federal dollars drying up?
You know, I haven't specifically spoken to ODOT over that or the commissioners for that matter. Commissioners would know more about what's going to happen in Douglas County for, you know, projected. I say that. Now, there is a project that ODOT is working on that I believe is Highway 42 into Winston. I think that is scheduled for a stoplight, turn signal, and a barrier and repaving. So, yeah, very well could. I mean, it could be an issue. We just don't know. We don't know what the Trump administration is going to do with federal funds right now. And I'll tell you, our state better get on board and start pulling the line, because if they don't, we're going to be in trouble. We just don't have the money to fund anything.
Now, in fact, the ODOT project actually started this week.
Yeah, I saw that, actually.
Some of the early stages of that. Now, one of the other things coming out of Washington that could have some impact in Oregon, and I don't know where it's exactly at, because some things have been flying out so quickly and so fast, you're not sure if they've officially been executed or not, but there was something about an impending, at least, executive order regarding opening up federal forests.
Yeah, I heard that, I think it was last Tuesday on TV. We actually do have lines to the Trump administration. The Republican caucus has a direct line to DOGE and direct lines to the Trump administration. So I haven't personally had any communications, but that would be amazing. I mean, our forests are not managed. They're overgrown. And when I say our forests, I'm not talking about our timber companies. Our timber companies do everything they can within the law to keep their assets managed, which unfortunately includes even putting gates on roads because, there's fire hazards. But the federal forests, the Umpqua National Forest, primarily for Douglas County, and BLM, the administration prior has not allowed them to do anything. So they're not taking any timber off of it, and they're not clearing brush. They're not maintaining it. And 80% of the wildfires of the 2 million acres we burned last year and all the way back to 2019, 80% of the wildfires are starting on federal lands because it's a tinderbox.
Now, as you talk to residents in Douglas County, I know you get just exorbitant amount of emails and phone calls. What are some of the main concerns you're hearing about?
Well, I think right now we're still hearing the tail end of the wildfire mapping issue. That is just, a majority of the emails I'm getting still are people that are upset because their insurance either dropped them or their insurance went up, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's probably the biggest thing. This water bill that was working its way through the House, this 3419, which was going to tax water wells, that was probably the one, aside a gun bill, that's probably the one I got the most feedback on. We were getting an email on average every 5 minutes, I think, on that, of somebody that was upset. And rightfully so. I mean, it's not, our state should never take away the people's rights. It's just not right.
Now, have you had any local meetings that you've been out at lately?
Actually, last night I spoke in front of the Douglas County Republican Central Committee. We also had our wildfire meeting just recently. That was last week. And I have several meetings scheduled to speak. We're going to be doing some town halls. We'll probably start doing an online town hall within the next few weeks here. I don't have an exact date for it, but we'll do those probably either once a week or once every 2 weeks. And then we're going to do a meeting, town hall with everybody, probably about April. So give everybody an update on what's going on in the legislature.
Now, I've got about a minute left on Inside Douglas County. A few days ago, the state Republican Party put in kind of a new slate of leadership. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it was a great move. We have Jerry Cummings is going to do a great job as the chair. Connie Wetchel, she's great. Of course, Sherry Brady, she's been part of the Republican Party for quite a few years here locally, and she'll do a fantastic job as a secretary. So, yeah, they did great, and I'm happy to see all of the folks that were put in.
And do you see things calming down? Sometimes in party structures, things get a little intense.
I think they'll start working with the caucus, and that's really what it's all about. Our Republican caucus needs to work with the ORP and also within the counties, too. If we can all just start getting along and pulling the line together, we can really do some good stuff. And I think we're about to turn that page. I think we're all headed in the same direction.
What's your big expectation for next week from Salem?
My big expectation for next week is we got a lot of stuff to fight. We've got a lot of bad bills. We have a gun bill coming up that's going to codify Measure 114. I'm just now starting to get, emails and phone calls on that. So it's just going to be a fight. I don't have anything great to tell you on that. We're going to be fighting.
All right, we'll check in again soon. State Representative Virgil Osborne, as we talk to lawmakers from around Douglas County with the Oregon State Legislature in session. Virgil, thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.